Let's pray together before we look into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much this morning for your presence here. We thank you so very much this morning, dear Lord, for those people who listen to you when you speak. For those people, Heavenly Father, who step out in faith. And Heavenly Father, this morning, as we delve once again into your word, we pray that you will fill the mouth of your servant with your words, that you'll give us each ears to hear and hearts to respond. And all God's children said, Amen. Well, we're looking at faith explored. If you want to see God's power, you got to have faith to follow. And if you've got your Bibles, we're looking at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. And we're going to be looking a little bit at 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 to 13. If you want to see God's power, have faith to follow. Now, God chose a man, Abram, to bring about the plan for all of creation. Now, I say that. He chose a man, Abram, to bring out the plan to restore all of creation. In order for that plan to take place and to take effect, Abraham had to be willing to follow. He had to be willing to follow God. Sometimes following God means taking steps of faith. Taking steps of faith without really knowing the destination. I might not be able to see God's plan, but he does. He sees everything. He sees God. He sees his plan for my life. He sees his plan for your life. And he knows it perfectly. We are in the middle of a sermon series now around faith. And now the first week, Major Donette told about the story of the Israelites coming up to the River Jordan. And they had to step out ahead of the priests. They had to step out in faith to get ankle deep. In the second week, we looked at the disciples and the Sea of Galilee. Being buffeted by the waves and the wind and the lightning and the thunder. And Jesus comes and says, it is I. Those three words bring him about such peace. And Peter had faith enough to get out of the boat. And for a couple of seconds, Peter walked on water with Jesus. But the other disciples were so gripped by their fear and paralyzed by their fear that they stayed in the boat. Well, this week, we're looking at faith enough to follow. We want to explore what it means to faithfully follow God when he leads us, even when the path is somewhat unclear. A few years ago, a father took his two boys on a hiking trip. And he wanted to make this trip, this hike, as memorable for the boys as he possibly could. He wanted them to be hungry for more. So he got them all the latest gear, the backpacks, the compasses, the hiking boots, the rain gear. And they set out. It took them a couple of hours to get to the first of the trail. And they got out of the van and they started hiking. Now, Dad had been to this place many times before. So he knew his way around. So he took the map and the compass and he stuck it in his backpack. Because he said, I know where I'm going. A couple of minutes into the hike, a dense fog rolled into the trail and they couldn't see the hand in front of them. And Dad started to get a little worried, even though he'd been there many times. He wanted to make this memorable for his boys. He started to get a little worried because he couldn't see the different landmarks to make his way to the campsite where they were going to spend the evening. So he started to get a little worried. So he takes off his pack. He brings out the map and the compass. And even though it was so soupy foggy, they had to rely on the map and the compass to make their way, and they finally made it to the campsite. It's not that much different than you and me today. In our journey of life, we think, well, I can do this. I can do it. But circumstances happen like they did to the disciples. And we have to rely on something more than ourselves. We have to rely on the map and the compass that has been set out by God, who created us in the first place. He created us with a plan in mind. You were not an accident. I was not an accident. Someone said to me this morning, oh, you're perfect. I said, well, yes, I know that, but we were not created by accident. We were created with a plan in mind. God created and he knit you together in your mother's womb with a plan for your life, a perfect plan. Every single one of us in this God's house this morning is perfect in his eyes because he made you. He has a will and a plan for you that is perfect in every way. And sometimes we can't see it. So we leave the map and the compass and the backpack. And we try to go it our own way through the soupy fog of our life. Make no wonder sometimes we get discouraged. We get confused. We have to rely on God's perfect plan for our lives. You see, God has a plan for you. Story after story we see in the scriptures of God leading and guiding his people to new places, into new tasks. It is always because God has an intention for those individuals' lives. And the same is true for you and me today. God made them on purpose. He made you on purpose. It just wasn't a whim. He made you on purpose for his purpose. And he's done the same thing for each and every one of us. In the beginning, the Bible tells the story of a world created for good, but sin crept in and totally corrupted everything. And ever since that time, it's been in a tailspin. It's been a tailspin. All you've got to do, and I say this time and time again, is read the news and look at the news. Another mass shooting down in California just last night. A bank robbery just down at White Oaks where there was a shootout. Right here in Whitby. The world is in a tailspin. It has been marred by sin. It's spiraling, it seems, out of control. And the author of the book of Genesis, by chapter 11, wants the reader to ask the question, was God going to do anything about this at all? Is he going to do anything to make this right once again and restore his beloved creation? The answer to that question comes in chapter 12 through a man called Abram. Later called Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God spoke to Abram about the plan he had for his life. God intended to use Abram and his family to bless the entire earth. No pressure. No pressure, Abram. Abraham had to be willing to follow God's lead. God was going to make Abraham a great nation. He was going to make Abraham's name great. He was going to bless him. Why? For Abram's sake alone? No. For the sake of a broken creation. So, no pressure. No pressure, Abram. But Abraham was invited into a grand story that would change everything. Should he choose to accept the invitation, he had to be willing to step out in faith. The stakes are high. Notice here, he's got to leave his country, he's got to leave his people, he's got to leave his father's household. It was going to cost him something. It wouldn't be easy. And on top of that, there's no express destination. God says, you've got to leave all this and go to a place which I will show you. At that point, he hadn't showed Abram. Abram did not know where he was going. And here is why. It was because following God is an act of faith. We don't need to act in faith. We don't need to trust if we know the end of the story. We don't need to have faith if we can do it all on our own. We don't need faith. Everybody here today, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Might not be clear. Maybe God's calling us to step out in faith into maybe a full-time ministry. Maybe to serve in the community like we've never served the community before. Maybe it's to make a literal move. A change of location. We don't know. Maybe God is inviting you to step out in faith and take a risk for Him. Either way, if you step out in faith, you are going to be a blessing to somebody, somewhere, at some time. There's a missionary who saw the value of obedience, and that was Adoniram Judson. Adoniram, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. Adoniram Judson. And he saw the need to step out in faith. When Adoniram Judson graduated from seminary, he received a call from a fashionable church in Boston to become its assistant pastor. Everybody around him patted him on the back, congratulated him. His mother and his sister rejoiced that he could live at home with them and still continue his work. But Judson shook off this notion. He shook his head and said, "No, my work is not here," he said. "God is calling me beyond the seas. To stay here, even to serve God in His ministry, I feel would be only partial obedience, and I could not be happy even in that." Though it cost him and was a great struggle, he left his mother, his sister, to follow his heavenly call. The churches that Judson started in Burma, now the country of Myanmar, have had 50,000 converts to Christianity. And the influence of his consecrated life is now felt the world over. The world over. Is God calling you to something new? Is He calling you to something scary? Is He calling you to something big? Something hard? Are you willing to answer that call, even if you're unsure of where it might lead? God is always speaking. God is always speaking. Are you listening? I'm listening to that. In order to have a life of faith like Abraham, we have to train ourselves to hear the voice of God. But what does he sound like? What does God sound like? How do we know if he's speaking to us? If he's speaking directly to me? Throughout the Bible, God uses many means necessary to communicate to his people. He used a burning bush to speak to Moses. He used a donkey to speak to Absalom. One story of God speaking that I think gives us a way of hearing God's voice is about Elijah. An Old Testament prophet of God, Elijah was used by God to do amazing things. At one point of his life, he had a showdown with a group of prophets from the false god of Baal. Elijah called down fire in a dramatic show of God's power, and the prophets were consumed by the blaze. Though he was a hero, he had to flee into the wilderness because of the evil queen, Jezebel. And it is there, in the wilderness, that Elijah heard from God in a way that teaches us how to receive a revelation from God and to live with inspired faith. And here we see 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12. And it says this: "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, a still, small voice." It's interesting that it's not until after all the loud and grandiose and flashy things have passed by that God finally speaks and comforts Elijah with a whisper. Charles Swindle writes, he said, he once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got very nervous and tense about it. He says this: "I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day." He recalls in his book, "Stress Fractures." He says, "Before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style, and it was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember, after supper one evening, the words of our youngest daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day, and she began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.' Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly.' 'I'll never forget the answer,' she had. 'Then listen slowly.' 'Then listen slowly.'" Like Charles Swindle, we live in a world that's always listening to the loudest and most demonstrative voices. We're consumed by it through television, internet, and social media. But what if we are so busy and overstimulated that we are missing that still, small whisper of God's voice? I believe that in order to have faith, we must retreat to places of silence and solitude and listen slowly. I had a very dear friend from college who, in his appointments, he would have a personal retreat, and he would go off to a cabin in the woods with his Bible. He would stay there for a number of days, just in prayer and the Word. This may mean that we got to unplug. We have to unplug. Unplug the phone, turn it off. Unplug the TV, turn it off. The computer, turn it off. And have some quiet time with Jesus. I'll give you a little bit of my personal experience these past couple of days, weeks. My normal, basically, morning would get up and bring coffee and a kiss for Donette every morning. Then I would sit myself down in front of the TV and watch CBC News. And by the end of my coffee, I was so tense about what's happening in the world today. And this year, I have vowed that I'm going to spend that time with my coffee with Jesus, that a TV is off. I'll sit there with my little devotional book, and it's called Experiencing God. We're going to be looking at it in our Zoom Bible study, the Experiencing God Bible study coming up in February. But I've been sitting and just alone and having my personal devotions and just praying, Lord, what are you telling me today? And instead of being all tensed up with what's happening in the world, there is peace. There's peace. What did we sing last week? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. That's, I believe, how we experience in God. Just unplug. Even if it's just for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, just unplug and plug into the real source of power and peace, Jesus Christ. We might have to change our schedule. We might have to say no to things. We may have to make that intentional space for grace, Verna. Yeah. We have to be intentional about it. This is my space for grace today, this morning. This is my unplugged time with Jesus. Now, this is all contrary to the way of life in North America. It's contrary. But to live the life of faith is to live with our ears attuned to the voice of God, that still, small voice. And I don't need my hearing aids on to hear him. Hallelujah. Not only that, but we've got to be willing to go. We've got to be willing to step out in faith. The people of Israel stepped out in faith when they took those first steps. But they had to be willing to do that. Peter was willing. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus just says, come. Peter was willing. He got out of the boat. And he took the steps on water. But back to Abram. After God, Abram instructions to leave and follow, even though the destination was undefined, it was worth noting that Abraham did just that. He stepped out and he followed. He was obedient to God's lead. He became the father of the nation of Israel. Of course, we know what came out of the nation of Israel. Our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the line of David. You can see we're following Jesus, or following God, blessed the entirety of all creation. Genesis 12, 4 to 7 says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot with all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. They arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. You see, it's one thing to hear God's plan. It's another thing to actually respond to it and step out in faith. There are countless families who've been transformed because someone was willing to listen to God. There are stories of whole communities have been impacted by a single person who took God seriously when God called. The question, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go where God leads? Hudson Taylor, one of the greatest missionaries, he was a great man of faith who founded the China Inland Mission. He was dedicated to integrating faith and risk. He says this, "Unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith." Unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. Oh, I pray we accept the invitation from God to risk for the sake of the kingdom. I pray to Lord that this morning we are intently listening to his voice, the still small voice of the Father, and to muster enough courage and obedience to go where he leads. I'm wondering if we could pray together a prayer of faith. You'll see the words on the screen. Let's pray this prayer together. God, help me trust you with every opportunity you place in my way. Give me your mind and heart as I walk out my faith each day. I know that at times I may feel afraid, but help me boldly follow you for my sake and for the sake of those around me. Amen.